Well, good morning, Fairhaven. Great to see you today. I want to welcome you too. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors that serves on staff here. So if you are new here, you've been greeted in all of our campuses. I want to do the same. We're glad to have you here today. I do want to welcome Springboro to the south, Northmont to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics is with us, all of you that are here in the Centerville campus, and many that are online with us today. We're so glad that you're here. We're going to continue on in our series. In December 29, 2020, a phone call went into the 911 dispatch. And somebody said, there's a woman screaming and she's yelling, help, help, let me out. And so they responded to the 911 call. They sent four sheriff deputies to the house. This is in Lake Worth, Florida. And when the deputies got to the home, they found the man of the house in his driveway working on his vehicle. He was actually changing the brakes on his car. And when the deputies said, there's a woman screaming, he said, oh, just go ahead and listen in. They listened in, and sure enough, they heard, help, help, let me out. Help, help, let me out. He said, let me show you what that is. He went inside the house and came back out with his 40-year-old parrot named Rambo. Here's a picture of it. You can actually see the entire video on the Ring if you want to. I put the website for you in the notes if you want to. It just reminds us that people are listening. Apparently, our parrots are listening. And the family has taught the parrot that if you want to get out of the cage, all you need to do is just yell, help, help, let me out, and we'll let you out. Of course, it sounded like a woman, so the neighbors were quite disturbed by that and recommended that they change that. Probably a good recommendation, don't you think? And I got thinking to myself, can you imagine the other phrases that that parrot probably heard in that home? I don't know. And then I began thinking about my home. I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what phrases a parrot would learn in my home, because they're pretty savvy, pretty smart, and they live a long time, actually. And so I wonder what it would be like in my house or your house. Today, we're actually going to be talking about our homes, our families. We're going to try to address the question, how do you have a strong family? How do you build a strong family? Does God's word have anything practical to say about how you and I can build strong families? Turns out it does. Aren't you glad, church, that God didn't leave us to figure things out on our own? But he actually gives us the playbook. The title of this series, Welcome to the Locker Room. We know that the game is out there, and so we're glad that you're here today, whether you come on a regular basis or whether you're new here. This is the locker room. We believe that God wants to teach us a lot of things in our life here in order to be able to live it out Monday through Saturday as we live out in the world, or the game, if you will. And so we're so glad that you're here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us this. In fact, the series is built on the foundation of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this, trust God from the bottom of your heart. That's a good place to start if you're thinking about a strong family. Don't try to figure things out on your own. But God says you don't have to figure it out on your own. I'm going to actually give you help. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you principles in my word, the playbook, we're calling it. Listen for God's voice in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because God does speak and he will speak. He wants to speak. And he will keep you on track. What a great promise for us found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust God. You don't have to do this on your own. Listen for his voice, and he's going to keep you on track. And we're going to try to do that today as we ask the question, how do we build strong families? Where would you go in the Bible in order to be able to find instructions from God on how to build strong families? If you have a Bible or a device, you may want to join me in the very middle of your paper version, or if you have a device, you can just go ahead and turn there. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, it's five verses long, and yet there's so much that's there that I'd like to read it for you, and then I'd like to unpack it verse by verse, because Solomon here gives us wisdom on how to build strong families. So let's take a look at it here. I'll read it for you first, and then we'll just go verse by verse. If you have your Bibles open, you probably see at the top, it says songs or song of ascent. This is one of the songs that the Israelites would actually sing. If you like to write in your Bibles, it actually starts in Psalm 120 and goes all the way to Psalm 134. And so there's many of them. There are songs that they would sing as they would go into Jerusalem for the Passover feast. It's called a song of ascent because Jerusalem's set up on a hill. If you've ever been there, you know this. And as the people would be coming all over Israel, they would be walking up to Jerusalem. And so it would be a song of ascent. As they were ascending into the city, they would sing these songs. This song was a short song. It probably sang it over and over and over again in such a way that the kids that were traveling along with the families and parents and grandparents and single friends and so forth could sing along, only being five verses. We see here that it was written by Solomon, as I mentioned. Solomon is the wisest man that ever walked the planet, second only to Jesus. And we're told that in Scripture, that he was given the gift of wisdom, and Solomon wrote these words down that really, when we look at them and unpack them and understand them, they're great principles for you and I if you want to build a strong family. Let me read it for you. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, that is, the entire house, so using the metaphor of a city being your whole family, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he, that's God, the Lord, gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, you can just see in the song that this is like the turning point. Behold, and maybe the kids will jump in and sing. Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of a womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now, there's a lot here, and it's amazing, really, when you read it. At first glance, it doesn't seem like there's much to really understand. It's like poetry or whatever it might be. First thing I would want to make sure that you notice, that Solomon uses the word vain three times. There's actually a book that he wrote, Ecclesiastes, which is a lot of things about, you know, things of vanity. And so if you want to write in your Bibles, the word vain there means useless or worthless. So verse 1, he says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor. Well, it's useless. It's just a waste of time. It's worthless. And he goes on. He uses it three different times. And when he mentions children in verse 3, let's make sure that we all understand it. This is children that are birthed, children who are adopted, children who are fostered, children who are being guarded by a guardian. So all kids are involved here, okay? I want to make sure that when we talk about families, we're being very inclusive of all children here, because some of us have birthed kids, some of us have adopted kids, some of us are fostering children, some of you are being guardians over kids, maybe a family member's kids or a friend's kids. God has given you that opportunity. It's amazing. That's found in verse 3. What I'd like to do with you is I'd like to point out four principles that Solomon gives us here. The first one's found in verse 1, and then on and on we go here. So let me tell you, if you want to know about how to build a strong family, Solomon gives us that. Here's principle number 1, if you're a note taker. Build your family on the foundation of God. That goes without saying, really. But if you want a strong family and you're a follower of Jesus, you build your family on the foundation of God. Look at verse 1 again. He says, unless the Lord builds the house. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you probably have heard this verse in relationship to the church, where people have said, unless the, you know, God builds the house. Well, it's not in any way related to the church, although I guess tangentially, you could say, yeah, that's true. God builds a church. In fact, here at Fairhaven, if you're new here, we believe that this is God's church. It's not our church. We just happen to be participants in it. This belongs to God. Am I right, church? But this is not talking about the church. This is talking about a home, talking about a family. Unless the Lord builds the house, God has got to be the foundation if you want a strong family. So I guess it'd be probably a really good time for me to say, how's your faith journey going? I'm asking that of my own self. Because if you want a strong family, you got to really look at your own life and ask yourself, am I where I need to be in my faith journey? Am I where I need to be with my relationship with God? In fact, do you have a relationship with God? The good news about Fairhaven Church, if you're new here, is that we have people that come every single weekend who are exploring faith. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. I was in your chair many, many years ago, exploring faith to figure out if I wanted to make a decision, if I wanted to surrender my life. And so if that's you here today in any one of our campuses or online somewhere, we're so glad you're here because we want you to explore this. And if you want a strong family, whatever that looks like, and I'll define that for you in just a second, it's going to take you having a relationship with God. Now, the amazing thing is that God offers a relationship through Jesus Christ free of charge to us. Even though it wasn't free for him, he sacrificed his son on a cross, only then 3 days later to walk away from an empty tomb. And he offers that because you and I can do nothing to deserve God's grace through Jesus, and he offers it to us because he knows that he wants a relationship with us. And if you think God is far away, he's only literally a prayer away. But you can ask him into your life, and as you ask him into your life, you then become a follower of Jesus, and you're at the beginning place of really thinking through a strong family. It starts with God as your foundation. What's really interesting to me, though, is Solomon had these wise words, and he didn't follow them. He did not follow his own words. Wise as he was, he didn't live it out in his own life. Solomon was a great builder. He built the temple in Jerusalem. Took him 7 years to build it. Took him 13 years to build his palace. So you can see where his values were. 13 for his own home and 7, you know, years for God's temple there in Jerusalem. Solomon built his home, palaces. He built cities. He built cities like Hazar, Megiddo. I don't know if you've ever heard of that city. Armageddon. That's in Israel. He built that city. Gezer, he built Gezer. He built Beth Horon. He built Tadmor. And if you went to Israel today to look for those cities, you wouldn't find them. You know why? Because they're in ruins. Because of what God said to him in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 6. Let me read it for you. Actually, I'm going to put it on screen for you. Here's what God said to Solomon. But if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, this house will become a heap of ruins. Turns out God's word came true. All those cities that he built, the palaces that he built, fell to the ground, are in ruins. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want my family to be in ruins. And so I want to pay attention to what Solomon has to say here. And the beginning place is for us to understand that the foundation is God. We have to ask ourselves, where are we? Are you where you need to be, want to be, where God desires for you to be in your relationship with him? The truth is, as you have a relationship with God, he wants us to prioritize him in every area of our life. He wants us to live for him every single day, that every day when we get up, as we start out there in the game, that we get to prioritize and live for him every single day, every single moment, making sure that everybody around us knows who God is in our life. But if you want to get very specific and practical, let me give it to you. Here's what Solomon is saying. Let Jesus, or God, Jesus, shape your priorities. Let Jesus shape your decisions. Let Jesus shape your relationships, your schedules, and your home. This would be a great list for you sometime. Take a lunch break and take 30 minutes and just write down, am I allowing God to control my priorities, my decisions, my relationships, my schedule, and my home? I find it amazing that the God of the universe, who created everything, is interested in helping me with decisions in my life and in yours. I mean, this week I couldn't find my keys, which is abnormal for me. I mean, I'm a little OCD. I put my pens in the same spot, my watch is in the same spot, my keys in the same spot, my wallet's in the same spot. And this week I couldn't find my keys. I don't know why, but I couldn't find them. And I just simply said, God, I don't know where my keys are. Would you help me? I found them. God cares about my keys. I mean, that's amazing if you think about it. He cares about the small decisions in your life and the big decisions. He cares about all those. Let's let Jesus shape our priorities. Are your priorities where you want them to be in your family with regard to God and faith? Let Jesus shape your decisions, your relationships, your marriage if you're married, your singleness if you're single. We're going to be talking about all those things today, schedules and then home. See, Solomon starts out in verse 1, and he says, you build your family on the foundation of God. Secondly, in verse 2, He says you build every part of family life around faith. Let's take a look at it. Look at verse 2 again with me. I'm going to read it again. It says, it is vain, worthless, useless, that you rise up early and go late to rest. Now, God is not saying that you morning people are off base. I don't know if you're a morning person or not. I am not a morning person. Anybody want to join me in not being a morning person? Yeah, those are my people right there. The rest of you, if you're a morning person, Solomon's not speaking against that. What he's saying is, if you get up early and you work all day long and you go very late and you go to bed late and you get up into the rat race and it just goes every day, you're just in the rat race and it seems like the rats are winning, by the way, and you're in this rat race and you're just going and going, you'll have no time at all in order that every part of your life would be centered around your faith. Notice he does say in verse 2 that he gives to his beloved sleep. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Sleep. See, what Solomon is saying here is that we need to be intentional about faith. We need to be intentional about every part of our family life built around our faith. We need to be intentional with our kids, intentional with our single friends, intentional in our small groups. Spiritual things never happen accidentally. We have to be intentional about them. And so if you want a strong family, it's going to take some intentionality on your part and my part that we make sure that we look at our families and our lives and the relationships that we have and that we are being very intentional. Men, can I talk to you men for a minute? In fact, I'm going to get to you in just a second. But men, do you realize what the research says? That if you engage in your faith, it's incredible what happens. And so men, rise up. Let's do it together. I want you to challenge me. I want to challenge you. Men, let's stand up and let's live out our faith every day. Is a little harder for us. And I want to challenge men today to do that, to be intentional in their faith. Here's what Solomon is saying. The implication here is this. It is never too late to do the right thing. Never. Even in the busyness of life, nothing wrong with being busy. I'm busy. Many of you are busy. He's saying that in the busyness, we get lost and we cut out things that are really important in our life. It is never too late to do the right thing. Some of you might say, well, my kids are already out of the house. It is never too late to do the right thing. You might say, well, my kids are out of elementary and they're already in high school and they're being affected by their kids. It is never too late to do the right thing. I don't know what your experience or situation is. It is never too late to do the right thing. It could be that this weekend today, we start saying to ourselves, you know what? I want a strong family and I'm going to be intentional and I want to do something about it. You know, during this studying for this message, I actually contacted all of our children's leaders on all of our campuses. And I said, hey, you work with our families. What would you want to say in this message as I was studying for this? And this is what they told me from all the campuses, actually. They said a lot of parents, and I don't know if this is you, a lot of parents feel as if they're not equipped to help their kids spiritually. That a lot of parents actually feel like they're not enough because their spiritual lives are not where they need to be in order to really help their families. Can I just push that away and tell you that's just not true? As God works in your life, He will prepare you. He will give you what you need, the Spirit of God inside of you. Church family, it's important for you to know that we here at Fairhaven believe that we should empower families. The church's job is not to replace the family, but to come alongside the family. Am I right? And so parents, step up. It is never too late to do the right thing as a parent, wherever your kids might be in this. Do you realize that we have a parent podcast that we put together every week? And if you don't know about that and you've got friends and you've got people, you got kids that have kids or you have friends that have kids, point them to that. We have a podcast to help parents along the journey. We realize it's a hard journey, parents, that you face in your life. We have videos that will help your kids to understand who God is. We want to come alongside you. We have resources because we want to empower you in doing what is your job to create a spiritually healthy, strong family. Now, Solomon mentions here some things about rest, and so it's really important for us to think through this. Let me get practical things for you here as Solomon talks. See, let's make sure we understand, rest is not the opposite of productivity. When Solomon is saying, you know, you get up early and you stay out late and you're working really hard, and he's nothing against productivity. He was a very productive man, actually, by the way. Rest is not the opposite of productivity. It's the protection from exhaustion. Let me say it another way. Let's create space for faith in our homes. Let's create space for that. My youngest son, I have four boys. I mention that quite often, four sons, and I've loved raising sons with my wife. She's done a fantastic job as a mom. And so my youngest son lives in Indianapolis with his wife, and he called me and said, "Hey, I've got an opportunity for promotion." I'm like, "Wow, that's awesome." And he says, "I've written a business plan, and I want you to look at it." And I go, "Okay, probably not the best person to look at a business plan. There's lots of very good businessmen and women right here in all of our campuses." I said, "But yeah, let me take a look at it." And I said, "When's your interview?" He goes, "Tomorrow." And I go, "Tomorrow? Okay, I don't have a lot of time to look at it. So let me look at it." And I looked at it. And, it was really good, actually. I mean, I thought, wow, this is amazing. Now, probably because he's my son, I don't know. But I thought, this guy's got to hire him. He's got to hire him. And so I was like, I called him and I said, "Son, it's a great plan." And it was. I mean, truthfully, it was. I mean, sense to me, even though I'm not a businessman, although I think I do have some business sense a little bit. So I said, "It's a great plan. I'm really proud of you. I love you." And as I'm talking to him on the phone, this message is coming to my mind about, protecting and creating space for faith. So I said, "Son, can I just pray for you as you're going to go into your interview?" He said, "Dad, I'm driving." And I said, "You don't have to close your eyes. It's okay. You don't have to close your eyes." Literally, he was driving. So I said, "You just keep driving, keep your eyes open." And I prayed for him. I don't know if he'll get the job or not. But here's what I do know. We had a moment. And it was a time where we shared together in faith and saying, "God, you lead him. If this is right for him, then give it to him. If it's not, you got something else." Parents, families, let's create space for faith. Let's create space for faith. So when we talk about families, let me define families for you. A family in the church, sadly, is often defined as a mom and a dad, two kids, two dogs, and two cars. A family can be a single. If you're single, you are a family. So this is for you. If you're married, you have no kids, you are a family. This is for you. If you're married and you have kids, this is for you. If you're married and your kids are long gone and you got grandkids, this is for you. If you're an aunt or an uncle, this is for you. If you're fostering children, this is for you. Your home, your house, your family. It's important for us to understand that because, you see, strong family isn't one without conflict. A strong family doesn't mean that you don't have conflict. Everybody has conflict. Let's just agree with that right up front. A strong family isn't one without conflict. It's one that chooses to love through it. Right, church? And so when Solomon is saying, make every part of your family life around faith, he's talking even around conflict, that we should love like God did, sacrificially, unconditionally. Let's figure out how to do that, because your families will be strong, because we all will have conflict. The question is, will be willing to love through the conflict so that everybody is changed in the process. Build every part of family life around faith. Solomon says that. Then look at verses 3-4 and the beginning of verse 5. Let me read it for you again. He gives us another principle. Verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man or woman," it's plural there, "who fills his quiver with them." Solomon gives us one more principle there, if you want to jot this down, and that's this: invest in your children. They are your legacy. If God has blessed you with children, invest in them. They are your legacy. If you're single and you don't have children, you can come along. Families, trust me, we need you. We need you to come alongside, help us. I know there are families in our church that want kids. Keep praying. Keep asking God. He will be the one to reward you in that way. Invest in your children. They are your legacy. Solomon says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver. Our quiver in our home is four. We actually planned for three, and we had four. And we're so grateful that we did have four, because Number four has brought so much joy into our lives. Our plan was three, and God filled our quiver with four. You know what a quiver is, right? I mean, a quiver is where a warrior would keep his arrows, and he would be on his back, and he would pull the arrow out, and then he would aim the arrow, and he would fire it. And that's the metaphor that Solomon uses of our children, that we pull them out of our quiver and we fire them into life because we need to make sure that we invest in our kids. I'm going to get very, very practical here for a minute. I want to talk to you parents for a second. If you're raising kids, listen up carefully. I'm going to give you four practical principles that come right out of what Solomon is trying to say here. And then I'm going to talk to those single moms and single dads because we have them. So let me start with the parents raising kids or raising grandkids for that matter. Here's the first practical principle that we can think through as we want to invest in our children. First thing is, we need to be the Christ follower that you want your kid to become. It's amazing talking to parents that oftentimes we as parents want more for our kids spiritually than we want for ourselves. See, if we're going to have strong families, be the Christ follower that you want your kids to become. That's how we invest in them. Dads, let me talk to you again. Dads, if you engage as a Christ follower, it's incredible the impact that it plays on a family. It's so amazing that when a dad engages in his faith, the impact that it has on kids or grandkids. Now, ladies, you know that when you impact them, you tend to do this naturally. You are more driven by your faith. We as men, we're conquerors, and sometimes we just need an attaboy, and so here you go, men. Here's an attaboy. Let's make sure that we engage because we need to be the Christ followers that we want our kids to become. Second thing that Solomon says here practically for raising kids is build the marriage you want your kids to experience. Listen carefully, families. Your kids are important, but they should never be more important than your marriage. This weekend, I was able to do two weddings. I don't normally do two in a weekend. I did two. It was so fun. And oftentimes, I will talk to these young couples as they're getting married, and I will say to them, the best gift you can give your kids is a great marriage. A great marriage. So if you're here today and you're married, focus on your marriage. Don't make your kids the most important thing. In fact, that'll just haunt you 15 years later when the kids leave and all of a sudden you're left with a stranger in your house. Do not allow that to happen. It's never too late. Start now. Start today in your life. Build the marriage that you want your kids to experience. I remember when Kathy and I were much younger and we had very little in our lives and we'd go out for dinner. We'd have date nights and we'd go out for, you know, dinner. We'd go to these places that weren't really that great, but we just wanted to be out together. And I remember my kids, they were all about this big and they would always say, Dad, why can't we go to dinner with you? And I go, because I like your mom better. In fact, if you ask them, they'll tell you that. I like your mom better, you know? And so I was told by her father, actually, in my first year of marriage, my father-in-law actually told me this principle. He said, David, look me square in the eyes. And he said, David, make my daughter the most important thing in your life. If God blesses you with kids, focus on your marriage. Now, he had an ulterior motive. I'm going to be his daughter, right? But he's right. He was absolutely right. And I've learned that from 38 years ago. Build the marriage that you want your kids to experience. Thirdly, model the faith that you want your kids to live out. Our kids will remember very little of what we say, but I promise you they'll remember what you model, what you live out in your life every day. That's why actually in verse 4, Solomon uses the example of an arrow. What he's saying is that if you have an arrow, you decide first where your target is. In fact, the implication there is work from front to back. Decide in your family what you want your kids to have as they leave your house. What are some spiritual things that you want your kids to know? Point your child at that and then model for them as you let go and shoot the arrow. That's what Solomon's saying right here. That you and I get to model the faith that you want your kids to live out. They will remember that. No wonder Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 says this, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You shall teach them diligently to your children when you sit. You need some space for that, don't you? When you sit, when you walk, on the way to practice, on the way back from practice, when you lie down at night, when you rise in the morning, bind them as a sign on your hand. In other words, even when you work, whatever your employment or whatever your Monday through Saturday looks like, make sure your kids see that you're living out your faith in the very things that you do with your hands. Bind them on your hands as a sign, between your eyes. You know what that means, right? Your expressions. They watch how you respond when somebody cuts you off. They watch when somebody is rude to you in the store, when somebody says something to you in an encounter. Your eyes tell the story. And it tells us right here, between your eyes and on the doorposts of your house. Model the faith that you want your kids to live out. Here's one more, as we're talking practically about raising kids. Build the legacy of faith that you want your kids to inherit. You might want to do yourself a favor by just sitting down and saying, what are the spiritual things that I want my kids to learn? And just jot down a few things together as a couple, or you know, with your family, with your grandparents, whatever it might be, just to jot down some things that you can think of, because as you build the legacy of faith, that's going to be the inheritance of your life. The Bible is very clear on the generations that follow. Let me give you the bad news first. Can I do that? Here's the bad news. According to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, it says that the mistakes that we make, or rather the sins of the father and mother, will travel to the third and fourth generation. That's not good news. In other words, if we're not intentional, if we're not thinking about this in our own families, it's going to be passed on to the third and fourth generation. Here comes the good news. The good news is that in Psalm chapter 78, we are told, on screen for you, to the coming generation, tell them the glorious deeds of the Lord. Tell them what God is doing and his might and his wonders that he has done. Teach them to your children, and the next generation might know them, and the children yet unborn. The Bible goes on to say that if you invest in your kids, that actually it will go on for 1,000 generations. Wow, 1,000 generations. That your kids and grandkids and their kids' kids, and on it goes, that we have an incredible opportunity to invest in our children. And as we do, we will give them the legacy of faith. Now, let me talk to you single parents, because we have single moms, we have single dads in our family. And I think, church, you would agree with me that being a single parent is the hardest thing on the planet. Would you agree? And in fact, here's what I want you to do. I've done it in all the services and all of our campuses. We have single parents in all of our campuses and online joining us. I would like you, like we won the Super Bowl, I would like you, by applause, to affirm single parents who have a very, very difficult job, as we want to affirm them as part of our church family and help them in building strong families. Would you, by applause, would you help me affirm all the single moms and single dads that we have in our church family? Just do that right now, if you will. That's awesome right there. Make sure you hear that. Single moms, single dads. Yes. Yes. My sister is a single mom. She has three kids, and it's hard. It's hard. Single parents, listen carefully. Here's what the Bible says to you as you're wanting to invest in your children. I want you to know that God sees you and the hidden sacrifices that you make daily. According to Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, he sees you and the hidden things that nobody else knows, that you work so hard at, and it feels like nobody knows and nobody is involved. He sees it. Secondly, I want you to know that God is your fierce defender, fierce. He will defend you fiercely, according to Psalm 68. He will be there to help you, to walk with you, to provide. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will give you strength and courage that you cannot find in your own heart and mind. He will guide you and lead you. And yet, as a church, we want to be there for you as well. Single parents, listen carefully. Thirdly, God will fill the role of a spouse. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah chapter 45, that if you're a single parent, God will come alongside you as if you have a spouse in your life, and he will help to provide. He will help to protect you. He will be the one there as your advocate. He will be your banner, the Bible says. Those are great words for you. Single parents, make sure you hear those three encouragements. Because see, if you invest in your children, they will be your legacy. Solomon has one more thing he wants to say to us. So take your Bibles and look at the last part of verse 5. He says something that may be a little bit difficult to understand. He says, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Solomon is saying that we need to protect our families from what seeks to tear them down. That you and I need to speak to the enemies of our family. And there are many enemies to our family. Would you agree? Many, many enemies to our family. Now, you might say, well, sports is one of them. Well, I wouldn't say that's even a bad one. I would say things like a lack of forgiveness. That's an enemy. That's an enemy in our homes today. And so let's practice forgiveness. Let's choose family over distractions. Now, that's where sports come in, because sometimes the distraction of sports and arts and hobbies and activities and events, and I get it. I had four boys, as I told you last week. I'm just saying that don't let the distractions pull you apart to the point where you don't have any time as a family in order to invest because of your faith. Thirdly, let's make sure that we raise lifelong followers, not just good kids. I think one of the enemies might be that what we're after is we're after good kids. But really what we should be after is lifelong followers of Jesus. They're going to make mistakes. We don't need to protect them from mistakes. We need to help them when they make mistakes, help them to get back up on their feet, help them challenge that, talk to them about it, be able to share faith with them in those situations. What we want to do as families is we want to raise up lifelong followers, not just good kids. I don't even know what that means, actually. That's so important for us. Then lastly, let's build in the thousands and thousands of small moments of praying with them. Small moments of a card, a note, a word telling them that you're proud. Singles, you're a part of this. You can help your single friends protecting their family by the enemies that come alongside them. There's so many enemies toward those that are single today. So many different enemies. Is it any wonder why Joshua said, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? You know what the word serve means there? It means we will be led by God. That's what the original word means. That is, for me and my house, you can make that claim today. We're going to be led by the Lord in our homes. What would it be like if our house parroted to the world the things that matter about a strong family? If we were parroted to the world and speak about our faith and how our kids are going to be raised up and to invest in them. I'd like to end today by doing something that I don't know that we've ever done before. I'm going to invite you to stand representing your family. And if they're not all here, that's okay. If you will just stand in all of our campuses in a second. And what I'd like to do is I would like to give you a blessing. If you'll allow me, I would like to pray a blessing over your family, whether you're single, kids, no kids, grandkids, doesn't matter, your family, single parents, single moms, would you stand in all of our campuses, even if you're online and if it's not that awkward, if you would stand, and I'd like to give a blessing over your family today, that as you're here today thinking about how to build a strong family, may the blessing of God roll on you, and may you leave here today in all of our campuses knowing that God cares more about your family than even you do. Church family, may the Lord bless your home and keep your household in his holy care. May the peace of God guard as a roof over you. May his wisdom build your walls in every place. And may his unfailing love fill every room of your home as you come and go. May you walk in the light of his presence now and forevermore. And the church said, amen. God bless you. If you remain standing.